It has been one incredible morning. Se moverá, you know. There you go. It moves. It moves. That was cool. My name is Steve Galbraith. I'm one of the elders. I'll be preaching today, or teaching, or whatever I can do. If you will go ahead and turn to Judges 6, we'll get there in a minute. If you're visiting, again, we're so grateful you're here. I think that this is a message that not only helps those who worship here every week, but also if you're visiting, I hope this encourages you. In Romans 15, verse 4, it says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." That's a very cool thing. So let's start in Judges 6. We're going to read beginning in verse 1. Join with me. "Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza, and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them from before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not listened to me.' The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' 'But sir,' Gideon replied, 'if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian.' The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?' 'But Lord,' Gideon asked, 'how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family.' The Lord answered, 'I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together.' Gideon replied, 'If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you.' And the Lord said, 'I will wait until you return.' Gideon went in, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, 'Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth.' And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day it stands in Ophrah of the Abizrites. That same night the Lord said to him, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old, tear down your father's altar to Baal, and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering." So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. In the morning, when the men of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished, with the Asherah pole beside it cut down, and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, "Who did this?" When they carefully investigated, they were told, "Gideon, son of Joash, did it." The men of the town demanded of Joash, "Bring out your son. He must die, because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it." But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, "Are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is a god, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar." So that day they called Gideon Jerubbaal, saying, "Let Baal contend with him because he broke down Baal's altar." And finally, now all the Midianites, Amalekites, and the other eastern peoples joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abizrites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also to Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, and so that they too went up to meet them. We're not going to follow through on the entire story of Gideon. It's quite a lengthy reading, but it's an incredible, incredible message. I would urge you to continue on to chapter 7. But there are several things I want to focus on. And I will change that in just a moment. What I want to remind you is that here's the people of Israel. They have rebelled against the God. They have started worshiping the Baals. The Lord God had commanded them not to. And bad things started happening. They were invaded. It was so bad that they had to go up into the mountains and hide. They were living in caves. They were hard-pressed. When they planted a crop, people would come and take it from them. When they found an animal or had animals, they were taken from them. Anything they tried to do, it didn't work out. And so they began to cry out to the Lord for help. And the Lord God heard them. And He replied to them by sending a prophet who reminds them of what God had told them, that He had delivered them out of Egypt, that He had saved them, and He had brought them into this land to have an abundant life, but they had chosen not to follow Him, but to follow the Baals. And so this prophet was there to convict them that they needed to repent. And so what happens is we find that the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon. Gideon is threshing wheat in a wine press. And in this wine press, it's kind of hidden. You're trying to hide your stuff. So imagine how difficult it is when you're trying to have food and you're hiding it from people so that they can't see it. And the angel of the Lord's appearing, he's working in the indication in the scriptures. He doesn't even see the angel of the Lord at first. And what happens is, in verse 12, the Lord appears to Gideon and says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." That's an incredible statement. What I want to talk about this morning is Gideon's progression to faith. And it's, maybe you haven't looked at it this way, but to me it kind of jumped out in the text as I was looking at it. The very first thing is that the angel of the Lord says, "The Lord is with you." Amen. The Lord is with you. I'm thinking, Gideon's not getting it. The Lord is announcing his presence, and he's not getting it. We see it for quite some time in this scripture. He's not following what's being told to him. You know, we can be just like Gideon. God is emphatically saying to us, "The Lord is with you." And we're distracted. We're busy. We're worrying about the stuff that's going on. We're overwhelmed. We're not paying attention. And sometimes when God comes to us, we're not even having a spiritual thought in our head at that time. But the message still is, the Lord is with you. You know, the Lord comes in the answer to prayers, and sometimes we are actually shocked. We're not ready for our prayer to be answered. We've been praying for something to happen. "God, show me you're with me." And he says, "I'm with you." And we're like, "What? I wasn't ready." Notice that when Gideon is told that the Lord is with him, God calls Gideon a mighty warrior. Doesn't look like it, does it? You know, from this passage and from the Bible, we don't know if at one time he had been a mighty warrior. It could have been. Sometime in his past, he might have actually done some mighty things. We don't know. But he isn't doing it now. You know, it's very possible that some of us might have been a mighty warrior at some time. And because of things that have happened, hard things, difficult times, struggles, fights, fighting for our faith, we've had to get in this wine press. And we're trying to protect what we got. I don't want what little I have to be taken from me. And we're feeling pressure. We're feeling not very courageous. I don't know if you've ever been there. Did something happen to you along the way in faith's journey? Did you lose heart? Are you missing the presence of the Lord? The Lord is with you. You need to change what you need to get out of that wine press and get back into the fight. There is a conflict going on. On the other hand, maybe you've never really been out of the wine press. Maybe that's where you've stayed. It's terrifying to get out of this place that seems safe and that's protecting what little I have. If I get out here, someone's going to see what I have and they're going to take it. If I step out of this place, something bad might happen to me. I'm afraid. I'm concerned. You look around and it's scary. I mean, it was scary for Gideon. It was real. These are scary times. In our lives right now, these are scary times. But don't let what you see be a limitation to you stepping out on faith. Let me tell you, there really are things to be afraid of, and I understand that. But we are in the presence of the Lord. The Lord is with us. God knows what we can accomplish with His power. God has already seen what each one of us can do by us having faith in Him. The question is, are you ready for God's call? In verse 13, Gideon says, "Pardon me, my Lord. But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all His wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." All right. Have you ever been there? Let's be real. If the Lord is with me, how could all this stuff happen? How could these bad things happen? Why do I have to go through these struggles? Why am I in this situation? Why do I have to hurt? Why do the people I love have bad things happening to them? I've been told about your power. I've heard about God. I've heard about Jesus. But all I'm seeing is hard things. I'm not seeing it. Have you ever thought that way? You know, I can relate. There is a very bad year in my life that I will never forget, and that was in 1989. 1989, at the beginning of the year, I was thinking I was pretty hot stuff. I was working at GE, and I was a credit manager, and I wanted my wife to be able to be at home and take care of the kids, and I was approached to have an opportunity to take another job. And it was a great raise. They gave me a company car, and they were going to give me an opportunity to earn a commission. And I go, yes, this is a no-brainer. Off I go. 90 days, I was out of work after taking that job. And it was like, what happened? I don't get it. I've lost my job, and all of a sudden, the economy tanks. The economy was not good at that time. Interest rates were very high. It was hard for me to find work. And it was so discouraging. I remember having to take odd jobs. I remember working in Old Country Buffet. Have you ever heard of that? Being a cash register. Here I am, hot stuff at the beginning of the year. And I am taking your money so you can have your buffet the next minute. I'm telling you, it was tough. I did all kinds of different jobs to try and make ends meet and pay the mortgage. I did landscaping. I was so out of shape from being in the office, that was ridiculous. I couldn't stand the heat. I actually had heat stroke the first time I did it. It was humbling. And I didn't have anybody here to help me with that. I can remember us delivering papers. My father-in-law got me this old car. It was a Chevy Malibu that was within the decade, the previous decade. Had the nice vinyl seats. The car broke down very quickly. It was kind of a lemon, to be honest with you. And very quickly, smoke started pouring out the back of it. You know, the blue smoke that comes out. And so I can remember one... The worst day of that year, Roxanne was in the car with me. It was blistering hot. The air conditioning no longer worked. My three kids were with us, and they were all surrounded by newspapers because we were delivering them as a family. And we're driving around, and I heard this dragging noise. I'm going, what's dragging? And so I open the door. We pull in out. My family's just covered in sweat. Remember, it's blistering hot. I open the door, and I realize I'm dragging newspapers. They were caught in the door. I'm like, I turn to Roxanne, and I go, we're white trash. That's where we're at. It was a bad day. I I'm just saying the truth here. It was a bad year. I can relate to Gideon. If the Lord is with me, how did all this happen? Be honest. You've been there. But nevertheless, the Lord is with you. Notice what happens in verse 14. The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" Guess what? The Lord didn't care. And I mean this in the right way. He doesn't have to make any excuses. He never left. The Lord never leaves you. You leave the Lord. The Lord doesn't ever leave us. We're the ones who leave Him. And so He says to His servant, "Go in the strength you have. Get going." It doesn't matter how you feel about yourself at that time. It doesn't matter what your circumstance is that, or the way you view it or see it. He says, "Go in the strength you have. Am I not sending you?" That's such a scary thing. Listen to these verses. In John 14:12, it says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." In Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." In Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose." We have a job to do. God wants to use us to accomplish His will. He asks us to go in the strength that we have. And we think, what? The strength I have? Yes. No matter what. But we have a question, just like Gideon did. How can I go in the strength I have? "Pardon me, my Lord," he says in verse 15, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." I mean, we think that. We're all having a call. We're asked to do something. It seems totally impossible. It's beyond my ability. I can't handle this. I'm overwhelmed. I'm tired. I'm not very talented. I'm discouraged. I've been beaten down. My health is bad. My marriage is struggling. I'm in college. I'm just a teenager. How can I? God says to you, "Go in the strength you have. Amen. Am I not sending you?" Amen. And we're thinking, how? "I will be with you," is the reply. In verse 16, the Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." God simply tells Gideon, "I will be with you." He tells each one of us that He will be with us. He tells us we will be victorious. God is telling you, you will be victorious. Okay. Give me a sign it's really you. Look, this is us, isn't it? I hear what you're saying. I'm still scared. I'm not sure it's really God talking to me. How can I be sure it's really you telling me to get this, that I'm really supposed to do this scary thing? This is very normal. Give me a sign it's really you. Think about it. I want to share with you another experience of mine. And that was me learning to swim. You know, when I was learning to swim, my father was in the pool. Here I am at the side of the pool. There's my dad right there. And he says, "Jump in." Right. I'm not doing that. You're on the edge and you're thinking and calculating, can I jump the distance? There he is. And you're thinking, is this a trick? Because my dad tricks me sometimes. He's fooled me in the past. And you're thinking, and so I'm calculating, yes, I can jump on his head from here. I'm going to jump. I'm going to end up right on his head. That'll work out. So I try it. And I jump right on his head. I don't even touch the water. And so my dad picks me up and he puts me right back on the sand and says, "Now this time I want you to jump in the water." No, I don't want to jump in the water. I'll jump on you. I come to the edge. And so I'm thinking and calculating. He started moving back. I'm going, wait a minute. And we have this discussion. We're talking about it, okay? And finally I jump, and I go in, and I go right to the bottom. But Dad pulls me out. That's what this is like. It is terrifying to take that step. And it's all about, is my father going to take care of me or not? Is he going to make sure I don't drown? And that's the issue. You have to wrestle with this. It is the same kind of struggle that you have to struggle with. Each of us tries to devise a way to lessen the risk of taking a leap of faith. Don't get caught up into that. Don't get caught up into trying to figure out a way to where you're not really relying on faith. The Lord is with you. But you know what? God loves us. And He is willing to provide us an experience that helps us trust Him enough that we can take a bigger leap of faith. In verse 21, He says, "Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared." When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." He had that experience where he could see that the Lord was with him. In verse 23, it says, "But the Lord said to him, 'Peace!'" with an exclamation point. "Do not be afraid. You are not going to die." The Lord tells us, "Peace, calm yourself down. Don't be afraid. You are not going to die." I mean, that was a very unpleasant experience in 1989. But I didn't die. I got through it. I'm still here. I'm still faithful. Praise God, I am not delivering newspapers right now. Do not be afraid. See, God addresses our fears when we acknowledge He is God. I want you to think about this. Gideon was afraid before he encountered the Lord. He was already afraid. And he was afraid after he encountered the Lord. He was afraid all the time. And we are so like that. But we have to overcome our fear. In life, there is a lot to be afraid of without God. There really is. Without the presence of God, we're at the mercy of time and circumstance. Without God, we are without hope. Turn to Ephesians 2. In Ephesians 2, verse 12, he says, "Remember, at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in His flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in Him one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone." In verse 25 of Judges 6, "That same night the Lord said to him, 'Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old, tear down your father's altar to Baal, and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering.' So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him." You see, ultimately, getting out of the wine press is confidence that the Lord is with you and it's time to do as the Lord commands. You see, the time always comes when you got to take that step. You got to take that leap, as we say. Even though you're afraid. Even though there's every visual justification that says, "This is crazy." You need to take that step. Regardless of the consequences that you are seeing ahead. Gideon knew that his family would be upset. Gideon knew the townspeople would be very angry. And they were. That's exactly what happened. But regardless of the consequences, whether it is standing up for God in the workplace, whether it is sharing your faith, choosing to parent God's way in this culture, repenting from sins that you need to repent of, whatever it is, do as the Lord tells you. It's always obedience first. We have to obey, and then the strength is provided. We want to wait until we're feeling it. We want to wait until we feel we're strong. That's not faith. That is relying on ourselves. Obedience first. Then comes strength. When you obey God, God works everything out. In verse 30, it says, "The people of the town demanded of Joash, 'Bring out your son. He must die, because he has broken down the Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it.' But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, 'Are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning.'" Now think about this. Joash is the guy who had the Asherah pole. He had been participating in these sacrifices. And now he's telling to all the townspeople, if they want to kill his son, he's going to kill them. Think about that. That is a turnabout in heart. I believe what happened is the Lord had already prepared the hearts of the people to be ready to be led. They were ready. When one man takes faith and takes stand by that faith, to follow his lead. Amen. And so they are ready to take a step, and they are ready to go in spite of opposition. And that's exactly what happens. To me, this is awesome. One man makes a stand, other people go, okay, we're ready. We're ready to change. We're ready to go. Obedience first, then comes strength. Remember, the Lord is with you. We see in verse 33, now all the Midianites, Amalekites, and the other eastern peoples joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Ebzrites to follow him. When you obey, even though everything seems to be against you, the Spirit of the Lord will lead you. The Spirit will help you through your weakness to make right decisions. The Spirit that lives within you will help you through to follow through on the decisions that you're making to obey. Gideon is a great example of faith. I don't know if you know this, but he's even mentioned in Hebrews 11, verse 32. Let's end there. In verse 32 of Hebrews 11, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released, so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, that only together with us would they be made perfect. Today, we have looked at one person's journey of faith. Each of us has our own journey of faith to take. Where are you on your journey of faith? Wherever you are, keep moving forward, because the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Amen.
It's just one announcement. The teen parents are going to be in the band room at 12:30, and middle school parents will be in the chorus room at 12:30 for school prayer. Let's pray. Father God, you are the Creator. You are our Father. You have given us your word to encourage us. And God, I thank you for all the messages we've heard today to encourage our faith, to make us strong and confident that you are with us, even when we feel weak, because we are weak, but God, you are our strength. Father, you are the one who will enable us to obey, and you will give us the strength to do it. God, I pray that each person in this room, Father, some of us feel like a smoldering wick about to be quenched, but God, you will give us the strength. You will not put us out. We just must not give up. God, none of us can fail as long as we don't give up, Father, as long as we don't quit. And Father, I pray that you give us the strength to trust you, to know that you are with us, God. As we go out today, Father, just be with us, Father. Help us to get home safely. And throughout the next week, God, give us the strength, Father, to believe that you are with us, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.